Welcome to Level Up with Sherelle and Danny. We're here to help you take your health, fitness, and mindset to the next level.
It's time to level up.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Level Up with Sherelle and Danny. Today we are talking about building habits 101. So our tips and tricks.
I really don't know how many times we would have referenced James Clear on the podcast, talking about the book. I feel like I've sold like 500 copies of that book to like people. I'll be like, you have to read Atomic Habits. You have to read it. It underpins everything.
Like we get tagged in it like every day nearly.
I know. And even like he just says things and you're like, oh, it just makes sense, doesn't it?
So today's episode is based around the book Atomic Habits and our interpretation with our real life experiences, because both you and I, Sherelle, have read that book. I've started listening to it again on an audio book. And it just relates so much to our way of thinking now. And we really embody the principles that James talks about. So we would love to share it here.
Yeah. We're all monkeys at the end of the day. And just for reference, we're all monkeys, like in the way that we think.
Oh, yeah. Monkeys are my favorite animals.
One thing I will say is don't spend money on the Audible. You can listen to it for free on Spotify, Atomic Habits.
Oh, there you go. Because I had 6 Audible credits. Because you know how you get 11. Credits every month? 11. Yeah, I just I downloaded a whole bunch of things. But okay, there you go. Free on Spotify. So listen to our podcast first and then the book.
Yeah. Before we get into it though, what's been happening in your world, Danny, over this week?
Yeah. So last week we released the lockdown episode and then shortly after found out Sydney's in lockdown for another month. So we're good there, but feeling in good spirits about everything. I mean, it's always just that initial shock of, you know, what's next? Oh my God, another month. You know, I felt a bit down for the day, not seeing family and stuff, but then you sort of just pick yourself up and get on with it.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. As I said, I might be different, you know, in 2 days' time, but it is what it is and it's all okay. So sticking with my habits and having a routine every day, a little bit of variety, a little bit of consistency, it's all, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, it's a really fitting time to talk about habits actually and rituals, because it's super important. Like, and they speak a lot about this in regards to like mental health, like how important routine is and just having consistency in your life. And I feel like a lot of habits as well, like when you don't, when you don't obey like a habit that you know serves you, it's almost like a domino effect for everything else. It's like in the morning, okay, you know, if you skip breakfast or if you don't, you know, have your multivitamin or whatever that starting habit is, it can like tip everything over. It's like, oh, I won't track my steps. I won't hit my macros. I'm not going to the gym. And it's so interesting because it's that all or nothing mindset. And I notice it show up when I don't adhere to boundaries that I know serve me.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. Interesting. Has anything changed for you since Melbourne came out of lockdown in terms of, you know, your day to day and what you do?
Nothing's changed, but what I do notice, and we will talk about this, is just how much easier it is to adhere to habits and rituals when your lifestyle is set up optimally to be able to comply. So for example, I was just in a really good swing of just getting up in the morning, going for a morning walk, and going and doing my morning cardio because I'm in prep still at the moment. And that was just my thing. Whereas, you know, I've been doing, then obviously lockdowns happened and I was doing my cardio with my spin bike, which I'm so grateful for, by the way, like so grateful for it. But like in my lounge room, watching the Olympics, like, and it just changed my ritual and routine. And that in itself, that's when I had to turn the discipline muscle up a little bit and be like, I don't fucking want to do this. Like, I don't really want to do it. Because environment is so important. Like, and I love like zoning and having different places for different things and whatnot. But all I notice is just the friction that I might have to adhering to certain habits, like step targets, like my morning cardio, like journaling, reading, and things just have to change. And all of a sudden you might feel like it's harder to do certain things.
Yeah. Yeah. Really well said. And sometimes habits that have served you in the past aren't serving you anymore based on that big change of environments. Mm. You know, you had your spin bike that you were so excited. You got the stand on it so you could, you know, really utilize it. And then, you know, something changed down the track with lockdown. And all of a sudden that spin bike became different to you.
Actually, I purchased a real spin bike, like a proper legit spin bike. Remember how I had the stand? I had my
bike. Oh, you don't do that anymore. That's not it. Oh,
I've got an actual spin bike now. I was
how good
tearing that thing up, and I was like, this thing's gonna come off.
It's gonna fall down. That's I'm like, how the hell are you sprinting on that? Yeah.
So I got a proper spin bike, and that's I was like, I do like it's fine. It's better than what I was using.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's, you know, it's not a Stairmaster, it's not a fan bike. It's there's no option. It's just this is what you gotta do because this is what you've got. Yeah. So that's why I'm like, I don't really want to, but part of habit is consistency. And whether I want to or not, that's what I've got to do to keep, I guess, the habit there.
Yeah, brilliant. So the definition of a habit is a behavior that is repeated enough times to become automatic or unconscious. Mm-hmm. Now, this can be of benefit because if something is sort of automatic, we don't put as much brain power and energy into it, and then that will free us up for other things that need that brain power. Mm. And they can be both good and bad, which we'll get into a little bit later.
Mm. What about you, Danny? Like in terms of habits and routines, I know that you said that you're mixing things up and doing things different, not being as structured. So what have you noticed that's different about, you know, lockdown for you at the moment?
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of these unconscious habits started doing my head in. But I'm the bulk of my habits are quite similar, you know, so wake up, do my morning ritual, vitamins, whatever, read a book if I need to, make the bed, all of that stuff is the same because I don't want to become sloppy. I am waking up a little bit later just because, and because I'm going to bed a little bit later. So that's changed. Still doing the morning walk to get my coffee. But today, for example, you know, we started doing our normal walk that we do every day and looked at each other like, how about we go to the beach? So then we just went to the beach and just changing things up in that way. So it's like the same habits, but doing them a little bit differently because then you become present. Like it breaks that unconscious, you know, just walking same street. You're not present. Where today I was like, wow, that house is awesome. Oh my God, look at those trees. Like I was so present and it just made the old habits very enjoyable and new. Yeah.
It's so interesting that you say that. I was listening to a podcast. It was like a business podcast and they were talking about making people addicted to certain things and creating habits and routines. They were talking about Spotify. So it was really interesting. You know, when you go on Spotify, it's got the discovery playlist. It's like all the music that it's new and trending, but that you would like.
Yeah.
What they did at the start when they first released that discovery is there was a glitch in the system. So it was supposed to be a discovery playlist with all new music, like completely new, but just based off your interests.
Yeah.
But what they accidentally did when they created this playlist is that some of your old most played songs went into the playlist by accident. Yep. So some of the things that you're familiar with were bled into that. And what happened was the plays or the likes or the subscribes to that playlist went like through the roof and they're like, whoa, where now we accidentally put songs that people like or that they're familiarity into this playlist. And what they realized is that through one of the things that we enjoy and we get addicted to and that we like is having something familiar but just slightly different enough so that it keeps us interested or excited. And something I was like, so interesting, because that's what a lot of big brands do. They might bring out a new collection or they'll do something, but it'll have theme colors or something. So you don't know why you still trust it.
Oh my God.
But they do. And I was like, oh, that's so smart. And I was just reflecting on that as you were saying, like, you know, I still do the things that is, I just change the path a little bit because I know I enjoy it.
There you go. Well, that is so relevant and so cool. Yeah. You get a taste test of what you're familiar with, but then there's that element of excitement without going too far out of your comfort zone. Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Very good. Now, when it does come to changing habits, you know, people often new year, new me, and they just overhaul everything and, you know, go well for a little bit and then they drop off and go back to old ways. Well, it's because a lot of people really think that you do have to overhaul everything, where a matter of fact, you actually don't. So it is about those tiny 1% changes that will lead you to your destination in the long term. You don't have to get there straight away. Like, for example, a comp prep, right? We don't just gas ourselves for a week and then we end up in stage physique or with a stage physique. Well, no, every day we put in the time and then we get there by the end of 16, 20 weeks.
Yeah. The power of tiny gains, right? And I feel like
tiny gains.
It's so easy to talk about it for fitness, but it's actually everywhere. Like, it's everywhere in everything we do. There's no sexy, like, you know, no matter what you see, like, I walked past this sign and it was like, lose 20 kilos in 28 days. I'm like, what the fuck?
Are you serious, man?
Yeah. But I'm like, this is like, yeah, literally these things like detoxes and all these sorts of things that promise quick fixes, right? It's the same with business coaches, six figures in 12 months. It's like, shut up. You know, it's the same with like,
six figures in 12 months.
Maybe realistic, maybe for some people. But are you catching what I'm throwing?
I'm catching what you're throwing. It's like learning a new language too. You don't, you know, the next day you know how to speak Spanish all of a sudden. You put 20 minutes away a day and slowly chip away at it, or reading a book or things like that. 1%ers add up.
Yeah, 1%ers add up. And I feel like when you first start doing anything, right, like the like smaller is better, you might not actually realize that, oh, okay, well, just getting up and doing like 500 steps in the morning, you know, it doesn't have to be this big hour-long walk, but if you just start with doing this, it becomes easier. And I guess that's one of the terms that James always talks about in terms of habit stacking. So when you start with those micro goals or those micro habits and you manifest them over time, add a little bit more, it doesn't seem like it's hard work. And that's the thing, like with habits, there shouldn't be a huge amount of friction. If you're really pushing and grinding, you know it's not actually sustainable.
Yeah, so well said. And that is with anything. So if you gently ease into the new habit, then it will become a part of your routine, a part of your lifestyle. You're not going to resent it. And then it becomes a system, okay? Because we always talk about setting goals and things, right? And that's all good and well. But to set the goal so far ahead without sort of, you know, making the process, embodying it and making that system a part of who you are, you're destined to not reach that goal. I mean, we always talk about it getting on stage. You know, we love the process. We love our systems, going for our walk, tracking our macros, you know, training hard in the gym. That is our system. And then a byproduct of that is the goal of getting, you know, stronger or getting on stage or things like that. So I think a lot of people are too in love with the goal. They hate the system on the way. They reach the goal and then they stop all their systems, you know, post-comp where people overhaul everything.
Yeah.
Things like that. So we need to spend more time loving our system.
Yeah, yeah. And I, to be honest, like when I didn't know what a system was until I started a business. I was like, system, what is a system? Someone's like, what are your system? I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like systematic? Like what's a system? Rather than being like, what are the things that structure everything that you do? Like what's the skeleton? Like, because when things fall through or when you like, you know, make a mistake or fail or get overwhelmed, it's because the system hasn't been able to hold up. And when I say a system, I say system in terms of business, but in, I guess in fitness, I might say process.
Yep.
Like it's just a process that you adhere to. It's a structure, it's a policy, it's a procedure. It's like something that's on autopilot. And yeah, I think it's really important to make sure that you do have your processes in order or at least know what important processes are. You know, like if you've only got so many hours in the day and you know you need to get up at this time to get all these things done so you don't get overwhelmed, that's the system you need to focus on, is like getting up at that time, not doing the things, because if you create the time, that's really sort of the system in itself.
Yeah Or even, you know, outsourcing staff members and things like that just to keep that going, or if you find yourself repeating a task over and over and over again, systemize it. That's what people talk about, because then it takes out all the brain power in those tiny tasks where you can focus on the bigger picture again and again. Things become automated, things become a habit, then you can spend more energy elsewhere.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's so relevant to like business as well. Like, do you have any systems that you really heavily rely on when it comes to your own business?
Well, absolutely. They're all internal. Now, I'm not sort of going to go, on a tangent on the intricate things, but even just email marketing and have automating things that get sent out, or, using certain frameworks for some of the books that I'm writing. I've got templates and things. I use a lot of, things like that, templates, like automated services, not when it comes to my coaching and things, but just on the little, posting on social media and stuff like that. I don't have any staff members working for me, so I can't really talk about that. But in terms of, things that I've repeated over and over and over again, I love my spreadsheets. I love my data collecting, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Those structural, and even with like Google Calendar, right? Systems, apps, like fantastic ways to use them. But even like talking back on habit tracking, I guess, like it's just really important that like your systems and your processes, you actually know what the important ones are as well to adhere to them. And like I said, because if you don't adhere to one, it can be that domino effect.
Yeah, 100%. So, we always talk about ways to better ourselves and everything. So today we're kind of going to put everything into bite-sized pieces that people can follow or at least be aware of on how to build better habits, because at the end of the day, it is about doing them in a way that takes the least amount of effort for it to be realistic. So should we get into the habit loop?
Yeah, for sure. So in James Clear's book, he speaks about this thing called the habit loop. And basically it's like referring to, number one, there's a cue. So there's something that is cueing or like stimulating you to do a particular thing. And it's really easy to think about it when you think about negative habits. I feel like the things that draw you in. So probably something that's going to apply to everyone here is going to be social media, and that it's really easy to say like, a cue is going to be like a notification. It's going to be like, oh, I see it, a ding, a bing, something comes up and it cues you or draws you in to actually pursuing the habit itself.
Yeah, for sure. So then just even being aware of that is one way to catch yourself out. Be like, oh, okay, I actually do spend a lot of time on social media. And you can even go into your screen time on your phone to kind of have a look and go, wow, it's like 6 hours a day. So by you catching yourself out, being aware of it, that's the first step.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was even chatting to a client the other day about the social media at the moment, because it's just, there's a lot going
crazy,
on. There's a lot going. And even I'm like far out, like it's feeling heavy for me. And it's really important to notice like when these things are so heavily present, how they're impacting you to then actually, like even before that cue, like recognizing far out, maybe it is social media that is the negative habit at the moment that is making me feel this certain way. And then what's the cue? Like, what is the thing that's drawing me in there? Is it because it's down the bottom of my phone screen? Or is it because like I said, there's a notification? Or is it because, that's the only place I can talk to my friends. So when I miss someone, that's a cue, that loneliness feeling, it makes me gravitate towards that.
Yeah. Or even, having your phone in the bedroom or having it as part of your habit to wake up and check your phone. That's the only bad thing about like Aura rings, because the first thing I want to do when I wake up is check my sleep. But I've even had to be really disciplined to not do that straight away, because then, all the text messages from the night before are on there. So out of sight, out of mind. For me, the first half an hour, I don't touch my phone. I keep it in the other room. I wake up, do what I need to do. And then, that's how I manage that cue. But too many people still wake up, check their phone, check the news, start the day in a shit mood, and then the day takes them for a ride.
Yeah. And honestly, I haven't been very good lately. I've definitely been checking my phone in the morning. But I don't charge it. I'm sort of like the other way. I feel like I'm more diligent at nighttime. Like I'll put my phone away and wind down, charge my phone in the bathroom and do all those sorts of things. Cause I see the instant impact. If I don't do that, I can't get to sleep and I'm wired. Whereas like when I wake up, I'm like, yeah, cool, get on with my day. I'm usually out the door and I'll go for a walk and reply to people and listen to music and put a podcast on or something like that. But yeah,
good.
Getting back to the habit loop, number one is cue. So notification, like what is the cue that's actually drawing you in? And number two is craving. So that's very interesting. And when you say craving, I just think of like food, don't you?
Always. Yeah.
But we do crave social media. We crave connection. We crave interaction. You know, this is what technology is very manipulative when it comes to that. So even when you first open up Instagram, they've added like half a second delay to going to the homepage when you open the app. They've done that on purpose. Yeah.
Why?
In our brain, because it ingrains like waiting. Like it ingrains that urge of like you're waiting for something, hesitation. I think
that reminds me of the old days where like you'd have to wait for the computer to load. Yeah, the thing spins around, or those dots appear in the bar, and you're waiting.
Yeah,
or you have to use the dial up cable.
Oh,
connect it. Make sure no one's using the phone. Get off the phone. I want to use the internet. It makes all that high pitched noise. Mm. Kids will never know what we had to do.
Yeah, it's variable, but anything that's variable, the pokies, you don't know what's going to happen or whatever.
Yeah, it's like
that mimics like, our brain chemistry to make us more addicted to something. And technology is just so on top of this.
Oh, they don't even
know. They're fucking nailed it.
The swiping a news feed is the same feeling as swipe like the slots in the pokies.
Oh, it is true.
They've mimicked that.
But
in terms of craving, you know, it's attractive, it's satisfying. We get those rewards, you know. But there are little tricks to use it in a positive way, not just from an addictive way. Mm. So for example, let's just say you have to get your steps in. Okay, can't be bothered today, but you still get on the treadmill. Well, you use that reward system by putting on your favorite TV show while you're getting your steps in. Or like you're on the bike watching the Olympics, you know, to distract yourself.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Habits are good and bad. Do you know what I mean? And the same with like things like social media, good and bad, just depends on how you use them. So, you know, when it comes to like the craving, it's just about identifying like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's the same as like food, right? Like you walk past the souvlaki stand, right? I see it, I smell it, I crave it, I want it, I got it, you know? And that's sort of how like the trigger loop goes around in circle.
Yeah. Yum. I'm having suvas because it's my birthday next Tuesday. It'll be my birthday on Tuesday, actually, when this is released. And we're going to
everyone say happy birthday to Danny.
Thanks, guys.
Do you have any plans for your birthday?
Yeah, lockdown. we're going to, you know, with the immediate family, because you're allowed to do that, apparently.
Yeah.
God, that's crazy. So, yeah, we're going to have, like, nice souvlakis, but, you know, healthy souvlakis on the coal barbecue, actually. So it's funny that you mentioned that. But I'm still in a deficit, man. I'm loving this dieting. I'm just not going to get on the stage, but I'm still dieting with you, man.
Yeah. Awesome. How are you finding dieting in ISO? Like, is it, do you notice any more, I don't know, cravings, cues, triggers to habits? Yeah.
You just got to keep yourself busy and just not eat your sorrows away and things like that. I haven't had any, you know, crazy moments, but again, just experimenting with cooking new healthy foods or, you know, foods, you know, that still are within my macros. That's enough variety for me at the moment, but I don't feel as anal about it and I don't feel as stressed. So therefore I'm not as hungry.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So it's actually okay. So yeah, cravings, or another way to do it is sort of enjoying a favorite meal after a task. So you go to, or coffee or something. So you get your workout in, even though you didn't want to, and you know that you've got your favorite protein shake waiting for you after, or coffee with a friend, or going for brunch. It's like that reward system in a good way, a positive way.
Yeah. And is that in the craving, the number two? So like creating that craving. Yeah. Like creating a reward for yourself. I feel like we always probably unconsciously do that, like, don't we? It's like a refeed day, you know. That's what that is. It's like, oh, I can't wait for my refeed day. So then you're more disciplined and compliant throughout the week.
Yeah, absolutely. And as part of just making things easier as well, just designing your environment, as you mentioned, you know, sectioning the house out. So or things like that. But then also one for exercise, for example, leave your gym clothes out on the bed. You wake up, they're there. I used to sleep in my gym clothes in winter in Melbourne because it was so damn cold. I'd sleep in my clean gym clothes, tights, everything they were on. I woke up, all right, let's go straight out the door.
I used to do that as well, because that's like, I feel like getting going is the hardest thing sometimes in winter. It's dark, it's cold, and like you just want to get up. And I know for me, I have to get up and get dressed straight away, because if I put my hoodie on or I put my robe on and I make cold, I just waste too much time lounging around. I just need to get up and get dressed.
That's so true. I've been sleeping in my robe. I don't know, I just love my robe.
Oh, who doesn't have a fluffy robe?
Yeah, that's so good. So that's craving. And what's the next one? Reward.
So like we sort of spoke about having like treats for yourself. And I feel like when you're dieting, you learn how to find rewards that are not related to food, right? Integral to be able to do. But like a lot of people don't. A lot of people still like look forward to the cheat meal, or like they try and still reward themselves. I know.
It's the C word. It's not
good. Yeah. So for me, like at the end of the week, I might like, you know, massage or whatever we've spoken about, like different things, just going for a walk around the shops, catching up with friends, calling family, like having days off, and just creating rewards for yourself in other ways that do give you that sense of satisfaction.
Yeah, because naturally we still want short-term rewards and gratification, even if we are working for something long-term. So even if your goal is to lose X amount of weight, for example, don't wait until you've reached your goal weight to buy that new dress. Like buy yourself new things along the way, or new activewear, or, you know, reward yourself with something, and because it helps us, you know, going. So that's why it's important to recognize, you know, our little wins along the way as well.
The last thing you want to do as well is like live in that, like, what is it? That hurts me.
Yeah.
That hurts me when I see people like, oh, I've got to lose 10 kilos and then I'll be happy.
Yeah.
And I'm just it's like what we talk about with a prep, like you got to do it for the process. Like, do it for the actual process. If you obsess on the strategies and the processes, the thing's going to come, you know, it's going to happen eventually. It's just a consistency and a time thing. But people get so fixated on the end result, and then they get there and it's more often than not underwhelming.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to body composition, because I feel like people think, oh, well, when I get shredded, then I'll be confident. And we know that body confidence really got nothing to do with how you look.
Yeah, it's
It's whether you've been diligent with your processes, whether you've like been following a structure, whether you've been compliant, like how you feel about yourself. So when you look at rewards, like probably the same, like make it small, make it frequent, make it enjoyable, make it reflective.
Yeah, have fun with it, you know, surround yourself with people doing the same thing as well, you know, like you and I. We just became friends over having the same process and the same enjoyments. Yeah. Like that's what it's about, and that's where the reward is as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last one, number four, reward. Oh, no, we just spoke about that. We missed response.
Response. I want it. Yeah, I don't know. We've got a visual that doesn't match up to the notes, but that's okay. We learn in different styles.
Yeah. Cue, craving, response, and reward. So
that's it. Fantastic. And now a lot of people think that, okay, we're chasing our goals, we're creating habits now, and they just fill their plate. Or in my case, what I used to do was fill my Google Calendar with useless shit. Feeling busy, feeling productive, you know, and it's still really rewarded now with people. The more stressed I am, I'm successful, or and that's really not the case. So we can't confuse being busy with being productive, because you might make one good move in the day and that's your productivity, and that snowballs into your success.
Yeah. Something I sort of came to the realization, like, the last sort of 6 months, is I used to have a real sense of like when I felt exhausted, I'd worked hard. And I don't know if I'd spoken about this sort of thought on the podcast. I think I might have spoken to you about it. But yeah, there was like this sense of like when I was really tired or when I was really exhausted at the end of the day, like that I'd had a productive day of work, because in the past, that's probably what it was like, you know, when I was working in the hospital, it was like usually the more exhausted I was, the more shit I'd done throughout the day, right? So it was correlated. Whereas now, like, that is just so not the case. And I can see that being busy all the time and trying to be busy all the time and actually feeling busy all the time makes me less productive.
Yeah.
Less productive. I get to the end of the week and I'm like, can't think. Like, I've got nothing left. And I think, it's so common because it's the same with workouts. People think like, oh, well, if I'm not exhausted or if I'm not tired, then it wasn't a productive workout.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Actually, that is a brilliant example. You mentioned sort of burning out by the end of the week, or by the end of the week, you can't think. And then that's the same with your workouts. If you slam yourself, you'll get injured or you'll plateau or you'll just get rid of the program that you're on because you're sick of it. It's the same sort of thing. Like, but we are so rewarded for that behavior that we think it's good, and we compare ourselves to other people. Oh my God, they're really busy. Like, they're successful. What am I doing? And it is a habit that's hard to break. Like, it was hard for me to break that coming out of uni and then having back-to-back appointments all the time. So sometimes when I have that space, sometimes I notice like getting a bit anxious. Oh, Danny, not really doing anything, trying to creep up in my mind. Mm. And then it's like, no, it's okay. I need a clear mind for my own sanity. I'm a human, not a working machine. It's okay. Clear yourself now, settle yourself now. You'll be able to make better decisions later when you
Yeah. And it's really only through slowing down and like realizing how much more productive that you are when like slower is faster. It's not until you actually learn that for yourself that you go, oh, it's like a ta-da moment. I know it was for me because it's so easy to say it. It's so easy to say it. But when you're living it, like, it's only through hindsight that you can actually be like, look how much more productive I have been working less hours, right?
Wild realization
because it's just not what is ingrained in us.
Yeah. And the more that you get your systems in check, you don't need to spend those hours on those little tasks again. So having awesome systems and processes and a team and all of that gives you more free time as well. So
Yeah,
you know, we all have to be there at the start doing the nitty gritty and all of that. But then, yeah, really ask yourself, like, is there something every day that I'm doing that can be systemized or automated? Can I ask for help, you know?
Fucking oath.
Yeah, you got to, man. You have to.
Yeah. And it goes for no different, like being in lockdown as well. Like when it comes to like asking for help, like, and slowing down, not always trying to be super busy. I know that was something I sort of struggled with, like feeling like everything's so slow, but I'm still in overdrive.
Yeah. Right?
Like I'm still in overdrive and everything. I think I talk about this like every time I go home, like I'm still moving at Melbourne. And then it's like country living, and I feel like that takes a little bit, like when you're in lockdown, to really then start slowing down. Then you might start sleeping in a bit more, then you might start lazing around and watching a bit of Netflix, and then you feel like
you're speaking to my soul.
I feel like I'm like, oh my God, Sherelle, that was you like last week. It's only hindsight though.
Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with it. But then that was a perfect example of environments, you know, you being in Melbourne, the fast paced, everyone's on a mission to get shit done and all of that. And then going back to Swan Hill where it's a lot slower and you notice that initial change, but then you start to embody that slower energy. And that's great if that's what you want. But then on the opposite, if that's not what you want, then it wouldn't be ideal to place yourself in an environment that would have that impact. Like you doing your exercise in the lounge room while Luke's probably wanting to play the guitar or play COD or do anything like that. Like environments are just so powerful. So that's why in lockdown, it can be a little bit of a shock to the system. But then even, you know, not in lockdown, it's important to note your environment. Are you doing work from in your bed with your laptop? Will your body start to associate being in your bed with work instead of sleep? Things like that, so important.
Yeah, because our brain doesn't know the difference, right? It's the same as like why you walk into the bathroom and you need to go to the toilet, like you need to pee.
Oh,
why you open the fridge and you're hungry.
When you're right near the toilet, I feel like you're about, like you're busting. Sorry, that was very... That's happened to me when I was little, obviously, more so. Yeah. But like when you're already busting and when you're right near the bathroom, it's like, fuck.
But it's the same as like you walk past like a barbecue grill and you smell the food and you're like, oh my God, I'm so hungry. Like, yeah. I could eat that. It's that cue. It's that trigger. It's making you literally physiologically salivate.
Yeah,
because that's how ingrained our bodies are. So if you're like using your phone in the bedroom, you know, then you're going to be heightened and more activated laying in bed, right?
Yeah.
And that's just where that environmental zoning just becomes so important. Is like, I'm really big at like eating at the kitchen table. Like, that's where I eat. You know, like, I don't work, I don't do it. Like, that's where I eat. And the same with, like, you know, the kitchen, obviously you cook your food in there, and the lounge is for relaxation, and your office is at work. And, you know, that can be really hard when you don't have that control. And that's why like home training, it can be really hard to like motivate yourself.
Yeah.
You're not unmotivated. It's just, you're literally like adapting to your environment. And that's maybe why, like, with my spin bike, I'm like, oh, it's just a little bit harder to do it in the lounge room.
Oh, of course, because your body associated that with the relaxation zone. Now, for people that don't have a massive house, if you're in a one-bedroom apartment or whatever, you can section little corners. So have a chair where you read your books, have a spot where you sit with your computer or where you watch the TV. You can still have that zoning within your house. But I think that's why, and for years, I've always like fallen asleep if I'm lying on the couch with a blanket watching TV. I think my body just, and it's so annoying for whoever I'm watching movies with, but like, I'm always asleep because I think my body thinks that I'm in bed, because I've never been the type to have a TV in my room growing up that I'd watch TV in or anything like that. When I'm in my bed, I'm sleeping. But then, I've noticed that with like being on the couch, always falling asleep.
Yeah, so interesting. And I even think back to the like lockdown 2.0 in the apartment. I used to like set the gym up in the lounge room. So like, I'd get my big I got this like big mat thing like Rebel Sport, get that out, get the barbell out, the bands out, put Luke away. And I'd like set up my little gym, and then I'd have to like package it all up. And it was like this corner of just like all the barbells and the weights and the mirror that was there for like 2 months.
There you
go. It was hard. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was so hard to gear yourself up to do that.
Yeah.
And I just have massive like respect for people that are doing that at the moment, because I know how incredibly challenging it is, like mindset wise, not physically. Right. Like, we can, it's not a physical thing. It's more just like a mindset, like mental thing. And I think understanding that, you know, you may feel that way, and that that's okay, and that that's normal, like can really help to like normalize you to get through it.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that's where that, you know, reward system comes into play. Like, wake up, get your workout done, and then do something fun, like something that you enjoy, or work out with your new favorite music or TV show on. Or I remember when I was doing back in Melbourne, I'd put like my favorite rave music on the TV when I was working out. You know, that only worked for one day. And then I'm like, fuck this, the next day. But you got to be creative. But there are habits that will not serve us as well, like always having the TV remote out, or like having a lolly jar or lots of chocolates out on the counter, just things that you can see, you're more likely to do just because they're so quick. But it can work the other way. Like, you might forget to take your vitamins in the morning because they're tucked away in the back cupboard. Well, have them all out so you can see them.
Yeah. It's just about creating friction between you and the habit that you either do or don't want to. So if you've got a habit that you really don't want to do, like, for example, like, you know, eating a box of TV snacks, like, maybe you can have them in the house, but maybe you can put them on top of the pantry, like out of sight, out of mind. You know, you're creating friction. So all of a sudden, you know, when you're 5'3" and you're jumping to try and get the TV snacks, you're like, hang on, do I want this? Luke does it. He's got like a little box on top of the pantry where he'll be like, put them in the box. So you put them in there. And then, like what you said with the supplements, like, I keep mine next to the kettle so I don't forget and put the kettle on, do the things, you know. So it's just about either creating or reducing friction between you and the behavior that you want to do.
And that's really important, because people identify with, I'll never be disciplined like so-and-so, I'll never be this, I'll never be that. Well, you know, we're not all that different. We've just set ourselves up in ways for the win, okay? We've, you know, put friction between the habits that we don't want, and we've allowed ease towards the way that we do want, through environment, through, you know, having them, having our supplements in our eye, you know, by not having the TV on when we don't want to, things like that. So there's not that much difference between people. It's just how have they set themselves up for the win?
And identity as well. You sort of triggered a thought in me of like how important that identity is. And something that like resonates with me when I think of that is I've always said to myself, I'm really bad at names. Like, I'm really bad at names. Oh. Can't remember people's names. And I think it was just because like with work, I would just like new patients every day, you know, and I'd just be like, oh, the lady in 119. It's her name again, you know, and that was just, of course, you know, that's the way it was. Whereas now, like having clientele and all those sorts of things, I've made like a conscious effort, of course, to learn everyone's names and make sure I remember people, faces, like interacting, etc. Whereas now I'm like, I'm good at remembering people's names. Like I'm really good at remembering there people's names. And I just tell myself that. And I think now I'm not a person that's not good at remembering people's names. So I feel like you are like a product of what you say you are, of course. But I hadn't really had like a real practical example until I started noticing that, being like, shit, I don't forget people's names anymore. One, because it's an identity. And when you have an identity, that's important to you. That's a priority. So for me, it's a huge priority. Like, of course. So I'm person anymore.
Yeah, and that's so important because then your language will reflect that identity, your actions, your environment. It's like, for example, someone who wants to go running, rather than saying, oh, I have to run this morning, say I am a runner.
Yeah.
How would the runner act? Would they be sitting down watching TV or would they be out there with their shoes on doing what they do, you know? Like, yeah, identity is everything. So catching yourself out on that language is massive. Thanks for bringing that up. That's really cool.
And it reminds me as well of like in the book, he talks about smoking and quitting smoking as well. And because that's a really easy one to think about, that identity. If people offer you a cigarette, right, and you're trying to quit, like you've already been a smoker and now you're trying to give up, you know, instead of saying like, oh, I don't want one, you say, I don't smoke.
Amazing.
As if anyone, if you're like, I don't smoke, and they're like, well, just have a Winnie Sky Blue, I'd be like, what the fuck, I don't smoke.
Yeah.
So then if you claim that new identity, like people will stop pushing things in your face and you'll start believing it and acting like it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that for sure. That's really important. So I think the first part is just to, you know, acknowledge any, let's start on a positive, acknowledge the habits that serve you, but then also start to think about, what have I let slip? Am I staying up past midnight now watching TV, or have I been, you know, snacking on this, snacking on that? So if you do want to change something, just be aware of it to start off with, and then try and play around with your environment so it's a little bit harder to slip into that habit, because they don't happen all of a sudden. One kind of feeds into the other. Like, you stay up later watching TV. I'm going to have a snack with that. And then you don't sleep as well. And then your morning routine is gone because you're sleeping in. So as you mentioned before, that domino effect, I would love for everyone just to reflect on one or two things, you know, that they may have let happen like that to sort of stop it in its tracks and have a bit of fun with it.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess just as well, being like realistic with the goals and the habits that you're trying to include. And like what we spoke about, habit stacking, like you should be like 8 or 9 out of 10 sure that you can do this habit every day. If it's anything less than that, it's probably too much. And I say this because the more that we believe we can do something, or the smaller, like what we mentioned, the 1% is, like you almost say, well, of course I can do that. You know, I can meditate for 30 seconds. I can do that.
True.
The smaller, the better, right? And then if you have that inner belief, you're more than likely going to do it. Whereas if you're like, I'm going to meditate for 30 minutes, you know, all of a sudden, like mentally, it seems like there's a lot of friction, or it's a lot of time, and you start creating excuses. And then all of a sudden it's a big domino effect and you feel like a failure. So reward in itself is achievement. If you can make yourself achieve at something, that is going to give you a sense of success. And that's really what you want to be able to stack on top of each other over time.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. So I suppose for me, one habit that I'm going to work on that I probably let go was probably my bedtime. Like I've been sometimes, you know, watching my show up until maybe 11. And it's
what is it?
Crazy. Queen of the South. I mention it every bloody podcast episode. And I just watch one TV show, because I don't binge watch shows, because that would just, I don't know, it's it goes against my values because I don't want to, nothing wrong with that, but I'm staying up a little bit later and I'm just noticing it, the difference between going to bed at 10 versus 11 for me. So I'm going to be that person. I'm going to go to bed a little bit earlier. And another one, I think for me, what the tool that I would use, we're working on a big thing together that requires a lot of filming, so it's going to be quite a mundane task, so I'm buying some new activewear for it. It's like that reward system. I don't know, they're two little things, the joy of lockdown, mate. It doesn't they're the two things that I'm going to work on, I think.
For sure. I think sometimes habits slip a little bit and I think that's normal. Do you know what I mean? We're not going to hit things every day. Like you're going to have good days. You're going to have not so good days. The main thing is that you just learn from it. Like what you've just said, like, oh, I'm just noticing, like, I've let this slip, you know, and I just need to pull it back. I need to increase that sleep opportunity because it makes me feel better, and just noticing that as such. And I think for me, like something that I, you know, have probably let slip a little bit is just my morning walks, you know, like, I'll still get out, but I would like to make them a little bit longer, you know, because I just know how much benefit that gives me at the moment and just how much easier it is to hit a step target when you get it done early, you know, do the hard thing first. For me, that's something that I really need to just focus on again. And what's the other thing? There was something else that I need to focus on. Oh, yeah, just having more downtime. Okay. You know, I think from lockdown, it's just sunrise and sunset, right? It's like, what's the difference? And I just feel like, oh shit, like I need to adhere to my downtime. Like what we spoke about, and notice how much more productive I am having that, you know, that time completely off to just Netflix and just chill out, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, it's about being disciplined to do that as well.
There you go. We're kind of the opposites again, yin and yang. Mine's watch less TV. Yours is watch more. How good.
Compromise, right?
Compromise. Yeah. Beautiful. Well said.
Yeah. Well, that's all for us today. Speaking all about habits. So like what we said, super important that habits are a big part of your focus, particularly if you are in lockdown at the moment, even more so, just to make sure you've got some routines, some rituals, and sticking to the processes that you know do serve you. If you did enjoy this episode, make sure you take a screenshot, tag the Level Up podcast and share it on your Instagram story.
Thank you.